Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
One thing I would dispute with Jeff there. He called this a huge series with the Brewers. It's July. Let's relax with that. They could get swept or sweep. And it really, in the grand scheme of things, isn't all that meaningful from the standpoint of, other than being able to talk about this team differently during the All-Star break. It's a long way to go and a lot of baseball to be played. In fact, I think right after the break, they play the Phillies, the Cardinals, and the Cubs again or something like that. I mean, they've got a tough schedule in the second half. So it's a big series from the standpoint of, you know, they have a chance to crawl closer to first place and do all that other stuff. But huge? I just can't get there. I'm Paul Zeiss in for Cook and Joe, by the way. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates. Remind you to text responsibly. Also, follow us on Twitter at 937TheFam. Brought to you by Jim Shorkey, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Fan Morning Show Porch Tour is ready to come to your house. Register 937thefan.com now to have the Fan Morning Show guys broadcast from your house with food and drinks for you and your friends. Remaining dates include July 26th and August 16th. Brought to you by Gutter Helmet, Old Smokey, Iron City, Fanatic Impressions, Permanente Brothers, and J&D Waterproofing. So there's that. We're talking about your Pirates, and you know, here's where it gets interesting for this team. I think if you look at the team as a whole, there is no question. That, you know, this is a pretty good lineup that's not going to have, you know, a ton of regression. I mean, if you look at this team and you look at what they have, I mean, I really like a lot of the hitters that they have. I really like the idea that this is a team that grinds at bats. I think it's a team that's really tough to pitch to. You've got, what, 8 guys in the lineup on any given night, and there's not an easy out. There's some guys that obviously don't hit as well as others. But if you look at this lineup on a typical night, you know, Clint Hurdle can put guys out there every single night that really give you a hard time. And if you're a pitcher, even if you're getting outs, you're working hard to get outs. And you know, with a lot of these guys, you know, this is a team that can string together a lot of hits. Even if they're not going to hit a ton of home runs, and they've hit some home runs this week, but even if they're not going to hit a ton of home runs, I mean, you look at what they have, you know, going on. Newman, 300+. This was their lineup yesterday. Reynolds, 300+. Marte, 283. But Marte, you know, he's not an easy out. And then you've got Bell at 306, Cabrera at 313, Osuna's 314. I mean, he's a good hitter, but that's a real small sample size. Okay, you had Gung at 169, but the reality is you can bring in a guy like Moran who hits pretty well. Diaz is hitting 278. Frazier's hitting 275, and even though he's not having a great season, he's not an easy out. You know, and frankly, you know, if he wants to put together a lineup where they're really are no easy outs at all. I mean, that didn't even include Dickerson, who's a tough out. So, you know, the lineup to me is good, and I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's good, so I have a hard time, if you're going to contend, I have a hard time, I really do, when it comes to basically talking about the trade deadline, moving on from some of these guys, unless you really don't think you're going to contend. That's really what it comes down to. And, you know, the only player really to me that is expendable, so to speak, is Gregory Polanco. And that's mostly because he really, you know, doesn't fit in that much. And he's probably right now your fifth outfielder. And I think that's, you know, something that you really take a look at. I mean, he's a guy that in so many ways has fallen out of, favor. They signed him to one of those deals, you know, a few years ago where they, you know, bought out some of his arbitration. And it was like, wow, this is a great deal. I'm not going to say he's sort of become Tabata because he hasn't. He's been better than that. But I don't know if they had to do it again, knowing what they've gotten from him, if they would do it again. I mean, he's been sort of an enigma. So really, if they're going to trade away somebody from the team that's not a pitcher, I would say Polanco is the only guy that makes sense. Just, you know, maybe if you want to tell me that they feel like they can get some sort of an upgrade for a guy like Craig or Cole Tucker, I don't even know if I would do that. But the thing about it is they absolutely are going to need to do something in order to make sure that they keep themselves in this. And the reason they're going to have to do that is because I know that we want to romanticize how great the pitching staff has been in some ways. They've been bad, but some of these starters, I think they've, in the last week, pitched over their heads. And I think that it becomes fool's gold when they get into a groove. And I'm speaking specifically, I don't think you're going to contend for the whole year with Brault, Lyles, Musgrove, and Archer all in your starting rotation. Not to say that, you know, that they're all, you know, they're all bad pitchers. I'm not saying that at all. You know, Musgrove has been pretty good. You know, Trevor Williams probably will be pretty good. But you look at some of the other guys, you knew that Lyles was going to have some sort of a regression back to where he should be. You knew that was coming. You knew that, let's see, you got to figure Brault, who's been actually really good his last few times out, there'll be, a regression from him. And I think that Musgrove is a good pitcher, but I do think that he's a guy that's going to be sort of inconsistent. That's just what his MO is. Times he looks like a world beater, other times he doesn't look so good. And Archer is what he is. So if you're going to contend, you need to have at least one more pitcher you can really rely on. And I think that's where it gets tricky for this management group. Do they go out and get that guy? I said it before. I really believe that this team, what they should do at the trade deadline is exactly what they did last year at the trade deadline. Go out and get a starter. and go out and get a reliever. The problem is, if you look at what happened last year, those guys haven't really panned out, have they? I don't have a problem with Archer. I don't have a problem with Archer and Keller. I mean, going out and getting them, they were supposed to be good. But by the same token, they haven't panned out. I mean, we talk about the Archer deal a lot, but how about the Keller deal? That's starting to look like the worst of the two deals. I mean, here's a guy who hasn't pitched. He's pitched 26 total innings for the Pirates since they picked him up last trade deadline. 26 innings. That's it. They shut him down for all of September. He's had all kinds of, you know, these mysterious injuries. There was discussion about the fact that maybe he's not exactly working as hard as he necessarily needs to work in order to get back to into where he needs to be. So I really think that if you think about it, that one could basically turn out to be worse than the Archer deal. So I think that I just think that when it comes down to it, you know, the Pirates have to be willing to go out and make a few moves if they really want to stay in it. As constituted, I don't think their pitching staff is good enough. You know, and I'll give you an example, too. The night before, Clay Holmes came out and looked really pretty good, didn't he? And then last night, he went back to being Clay Holmes, you know. And I think we'll start to see that from some of the other guys as well, who have pitched really well during this stretch. But they just there's too many of these guys that just aren't good enough. And if that's the case, you're going to have to really try and figure out, how do you make yourself better? How do you make yourself better? What is it that you're willing to give up, and how do you make yourself better? And if you look at the assets they have, it's almost, to me, like there's not many other places they can go to find somebody that they can trade. Seriously. That's a problem. Maybe they go with, you know, a guy like Tucker because they've got a logjam in the middle of the infield, although I doubt that they're going to do that. Maybe a guy like Craig because they've got Hayes and they've got Josh Bell, so he's kind of blocked. Maybe they do that. I don't see anyone on this major league team, though, other than Polanco, that you could trade without really outraging your fan base. Like, I would believe that if you traded somebody like a Corey Dickerson or a Cabrera, I think that you would probably find that, you know, your fan base would view that as you're giving up on the season, because those are two of your best hitters. And I said, you know, if you want to shed one or two of those guys, if you fall out of it, it makes sense. But if you're still three games, then to me, you're within three games, you need to basically give this team a chance to win. And the only way you're going to do that is if you upgrade the pitching staff. Coming up, we're going to talk about to Joe Block of the Pirates broadcast. It's 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. I'm Paul Zeiss in for Cook and Joe. Like I said, I'm, you know, the perfect guy to fill in this show because I'm a little bit of a cranky old man. Not quite as cranky as Cook, but a little more cranky than Joe's. I'm perfect for doing this. Joining us now, though, is a guy who's never cranky, always in a good mood, and always very insightful, and that, of course, is Joe Block from the Pirates broadcast. Joe, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm a little cranky. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you're never cranky. I've never seen you in a bad mood, cranky, ever.
Thank you. That's a compliment. It has happened. But try not to do it too often.
Now, yesterday, I guess the one guy that was cranky was Joe Maddon in that game against the Pirates. And Joe, when I look at that whole thing, I just saw a manager basically trying to spark something with his, you know, spark something with his team. The Cubs are struggling a little bit. Obviously, Theo Epstein's breathing down his neck. Didn't you see kind of that it was much to do about nothing?
Yeah, I think you're right on with that. And you know, the Cubs obviously have very high expectations for this season. And the Central being so tightly packed, losing the first three games of the series, and they also have had a really tough time on the road over the last month plus or so. So, yeah, I mean, that happens sometimes. And it's, you know, it's a good strategy. I don't think Pirate fans should take it too personally. I'm sure in the Pirates clubhouse when I visit them today, those guys are just going to brush off what he was saying because clearly no one's trying to hit anybody with the bases loaded. The Pirates don't pitch in any more than any other team. If teams think that, then the numbers disprove that. So it's just one of those things that, yeah, like you said, he's probably just trying to get a flailing ball club back to what it's capable of again.
Yeah, and of course, you know, that a lot of that just comes to the fact that, you know, they've got some older pitchers and they've got, you know, some guys who have been nicked up a little bit. And you hope that for their sake they get it going. But, of course, for the Pirates' sake, you hope they don't get it going. And here we sit, you know, despite everything that's happened, Joe, to this team, you know, losing players to injuries and all this stuff, the losing streaks, the, you know, the having to go with openers a couple of times, all of the stuff that's happened. None of it really matters, does it, Joe, when you really take a look at it? They are right now three games out of first place, and they are three games out of a wild card. It's pretty amazing that the resiliency, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, in spring training, Paul, I mean, you could tell in the clubhouse that they were really all for one, one for all, and it's not always like that. Sometimes it just doesn't click all the way or – it's not working or it's just not very good. This team, I thought from the get-go in February that, okay, whatever they're capable of, they're going to get a little bit more because of that. You know, I believe in clubhouse chemistry to a degree. You have to have talent. You have to have depth. But I do think it kind of rounds you up or rounds you down depending on what's going on there. And I thought the Pirates would probably, you know, overachieve a little bit with this group. Well, you look at run differential, you look at some, you know, where they rank in runs allowed or runs scored for the entire season, and you'd say, well, this team probably doesn't have any business being as close as they are, but it doesn't matter. They do have business being where they are because of the wins and losses say so, and that's the only thing that matters. So I think that's where, when we look at, okay, what are they going to do the rest of the season? Well, why wouldn't they do what they've been doing? We're more than halfway through the season now. I don't think there's much of an aberration. Now, they have to get better than they played to win the division, but they don't have to get much better. And I think that's the one thing that really gives fans hope, you know, going through this last half of the season, is that if they play a little better, if they're a little healthier, they can win this division. And that's all it takes right now because they are just three games out.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, a lot of people at this time start talking about the trade deadline, Joe, and I was talking about this a little earlier. I don't know that I see very many pieces that I'd really want them to part with from the major league club. I mean, we early in the season you talk about a guy like Dickerson or Cabrera because they are, you know, on expiring contracts or whatever and not likely to be around. To me, I think this team, you kind of keep it intact and maybe see if you can add a pitcher or two, but I don't know how you do that because I don't know that you necessarily want to move on from any of these guys, right?
Yeah, that's what's the siren song of the way that this team is playing, because you can even go down in the bullpen and names like Michael Feliz and Clay Holmes, for instance, guys who struggled from the outset, they're pitching well for the most part. And those are your back-end guys. So, yeah, can you get better? Yeah, is it incrementally better? Yeah, that's probably going to be it, even in the starting pitching staff. Are you going to find, let's say Brault right now is the fifth starter. Are you going to find someone that's remarkably better than Steven Brault? Yeah, maybe at a extreme cost, but maybe not. Maybe there isn't that player available. Maybe the player is available, but another team makes an even better offer. So to expect a large upgrade, I think there probably aren't going to be that many teams that have that. The Pirates have been built on a lot of good players. And if you lose a good player, there's probably an average player behind that guy. And then if there's an average player, there's a close to average player behind that guy. And I do think, the reason why the Pirates have kind of kept their heads close to even all year is because of the depth. And it doesn't seem like it when you're losing your top four outfielders at once and your top two shortstops at one time, which the Pirates had, but or three or four men from their rotation. Of course, no team can survive that. But I think this Pirates team was built on depth in the spring, and we're seeing at least some of that come through, because some of these guys now, every night on their bench, every night in their bullpen, there's some good players there. So it's fun to watch what's going on, and hopefully that will continue. But I don't see any real places where you could really make a huge jump, barring, landing a superstar.
No, absolutely. We're talking with Joe Block, Pirates broadcaster. Joe, I'm getting old. If I'm not mistaken, you came to us from Milwaukee, correct?
Right. I was working for the Brewers.
Right, exactly. So these series is always probably have a little extra meaning or special, a little bit special. You probably know some people still over there, but it's pretty incredible what that team has done over the last few years. Given some of the they have some of the same limitations the Pirates do. What do you see, with Milwaukee? They're coming in here this weekend for a three-game series.
Yeah, I've been here as long as I was there now, so there aren't too many holdovers for my time working there. But, the one thing that I think has been a theme is you look at their pitching and you go, how are they getting this done? They're a win from the World Series last year. And they're piecemealing their rotation together, and their bullpen was fantastic last year, and it's been good in large stretches this year. Different guys have not quite performed as close as they were last year. They have gotten their starting rotation, some parts of it stepping up too. And it's interesting because they've got nine guys that are probably capable of starting, but only three at any given time are really doing the job. Some are out of the bullpen, some are in the minor leagues. And occasionally some are hurt. So I don't know. They're just so I can't think of the right word. I don't know. Erratic is not the right word, but they're unpredictable is probably the right word for them, because they do have a large collection of talent. They've had some guys that have not played, like Aguilar. He came out of nowhere last year and hasn't done much this year. So, who is he? Is he last year guy, or was that a one-time thing? So there's a lot of different pieces there that, this team could go to the World Series again. This team could finish in last place in the division in this tightly packed Central. I don't really know what to expect from the Brewers, but I do expect this. In this series, the Pirates need to play well. They did play well in that series, but Milwaukee edged it out 2 out of 3. They've got to take at least 2 out of 3 this weekend to really make this interesting, I think.
Yeah, you look at Milwaukee, too. They're coming off a series with the Reds. It's weird, but with their offense – they got shut out 2 days in a row by the Reds, whose pitching staff is far better than I think we thought it would be, or at least they're pitching better than we thought they would be. That offense, Joe, is that an offense? And I haven't looked at the numbers. I know you're a numbers guy. Is the Brewers offense one of those offenses that that maybe doesn't travel well and it is really built for that ballpark?
I think somewhat. Even the Pirates, what did they shut them down? I can't remember now. It's 9 runs at the most, I think, in that three-game series in Milwaukee. It's not an all-or-nothing lineup, but it's close to that, in my opinion. They're going to hit a lot of home runs, even on the road, but they're more constructed for that. There are a few exceptions, of course, in that lineup. And when Kane's right, he's a good all-around hitter. Yelich, even though he's the leader in home runs, he's a very good all-around hitter. And there are others at times that can fulfill that role too. But for the most part, it's a home run hitting team, and I think they can be streaky. And all the hitters have holes. Yelich some weeks doesn't, but everybody else has holes. And the Pirates have done a great job pitching against them. They just haven't been able to hit against the Brewers pitching at times. So this series is critical. We'll see if the Bucks bats can get going again. They have had a good week. So it just shows you the Brewers do pitch. I don't know how it always comes into place, but it does. They do pitch. And it may be an offensive series. It may not be. It's hard to really predict, like I said, with the Brewers and what they're capable of. And but the Pirates are playing some of their best baseball right now, so they can go toe-to-toe with these guys.
Well, Joe, I appreciate you taking the time with us. Joe, I guess you join Cook and Starkey every Friday at this point?
Yeah, what, are you envious?
I mean, I am. You know, I mean, you never join me. I mean, you're always with them.
And I haven't been invited. Well, I always check yes if I get invited. So this is, seems like my junior high and high school years right now. Never invited to the party. But
well,
okay.
you will be. I'm going to look at my schedule the next time the Pirates are off. I'm going to call you and see if you'll do it.
I love to work. I prefer on days I'm working, because off days I try to spend with the kids.
Okay, so well,
so any day the Pirates are playing, you get a lot to choose from.
Yeah,
so.
I got to figure. I'll figure it out, and we'll do it. All right.
Sounds great, Paul.
All right, that's Joe Block. I'm Paul Zeiss. We got to get to a break. It's 93.7. Well, there you just had it, Joe Block. And you know, I think that you know, he raises a really good point that the Pirates are in a weird situation, because upgrading their roster without really selling the farm is going to be difficult. But by the same token, you know, I would disagree with a couple of things. I think one, some of the guys that he talked about in the pitching staff, I think they could find upgrades for at a reasonable cost. In other words, I don't think it's going to take that much to find an upgrade over a guy like Stephen Brault. I just don't. And I think, again, like I said, I think Jordan Lyles is what he is. You know, he's a veteran pitcher who we have a lot of body of work on. And that's not to say that guys can't figure it out at some point, but, you know, he's been around for a while, and we kind of know what he is. And, you know, yesterday, actually, if you really look at what he's sort of, morphed into here, over the last couple of starts and whatnot, I mean, he's sort of becoming the guy that we thought that they were getting when they got him. You know, 4.36 ERA. You know, he's got which is actually better than his career. You know, his batting average against is a little bit lower than his career. His WHIP probably is a little lower, so there's probably going to be a little more regression. But as long as he's a guy who goes out every game and, you know, kind of gives him an opportunity. He didn't yesterday, but I think that, again, between him and Brault, you've got two guys that you're just on borrowed time with. And, you know, nothing happens, however, if they don't start getting something out of Chris Archer. And I think that's really a lot. There are some people who would say that's very unfair, putting too much pressure on one guy. But let's face it, with Jameson Taillon out, Chris Archer has to be your guy. He does. And, you know, if he's not your guy, I think you're going to have a hard time winning a lot of games. If he's what we've seen so far, you're going to have a hard time winning games. You're going to have a hard time staying in it. I mean, I think Trevor Williams, obviously, and when I say your guy, I mean, Trevor Williams to me is their quote-unquote ace right now. You know, and I think he's fine. I he's a good pitcher. I know he's been a little bumpy here coming back, but he's coming back from an injury. He'll be fine. I have no problems at all with Trevor Williams. What I mean about Chris Archer is, you need him to be that guy that they thought they were getting when they traded the farm for him. That's going to be the most difficult thing going forward, because you really have no flexibility or options with him in terms of what you can do with him. You gave up way too much for him let me say this differently. He's a guy that you brought here and gave a lot up for. And because you gave so much up for him, you can't just pull the plug on him. And I've actually heard some people say, well, why don't you try and maybe trade him? Why would you do that? You bought high, you know, and sell low. I don't know that that's necessarily a way to make a lot of money. You know, I don't know that that's necessarily a way that you do business. But the frustrating thing with him, here's the frustrating thing with Chris Archer. Matt, how many times this year, Chris Archer has 19 starts, I think. 19 starts. How many times in 19 starts has he gotten further than six innings? In other words, more than six innings. Take a guess.
I feel like twice would be the most, but I have a feeling it's just one.
Twice. That's it. Twice. By contrast, less than six innings, right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. 10 times less than six innings, twice more than six innings. And then six innings exactly. One, two, three, three times. Yep. So he's got 15 starts. That's not what you're looking for from him at all. And again, you know what? We're not talking about Stephen Brault here. We're not talking about somebody that you think is supposed to be on the back end of your bullpen. I mean, of your rotation. We're not talking about a guy like Jordan Lyles. To me, you get whatever you get from Jordan Lyles, you're happy. When he has those starts where he gives you six, seven innings or whatever and pitches really well, that's great. But if he doesn't, you know what? He's Jordan Lyles. It's the same thing with Brault. And you know what? I would argue to some degree it's the same thing with Musgrove. I think we're to the point with Musgrove where you expect a little bit more from him than the other two. But Archer is a guy that needs to get it together. He needs to give them length in innings. He needs to start pitching well. And if he does that, I think it changes the prospects for this team. There's some people that, are still holding out and saying, well, I don't think this is a team that's probably going to be a playoff team. You know, it's a team that is kind of interesting, but at the end of the day, you know what? Here's the reality. They aren't going anywhere if Chris Archer doesn't start pitching better. They're just not. He's too important of a player. He's been put in too important of a position. And they don't have many other options. I've heard I've actually heard people say, well, maybe they should trade him at the trade deadline. Why would you do that? You gave up, two really young power arms and a pretty good young outfield prospect. You think any team's giving you anything close to that if you trade them now? It would make no sense. Your best approach, or the best thing that could happen with respect to, Chris Archer, is he starts pitching better. And it's not just about the numbers. It's also about innings. I mean, he's got too many of these five innings pitched, 95 pitches, three earned runs. He's got too many games like that. 101 pitches, he had a win against Miami. Five innings pitched, four earned runs, 101 pitches. 100, a loss against the Dodgers. Five innings pitched, four earned runs, 105 pitches. It's not a good, efficient way to go about doing the things you do. So I'm just, looking at this and saying, here's a guy to me that really needs to figure this out. Before we have any other discussions about what this Pirate team is going to do, I think, you could go through the entire list of the roster. Who is the most important player for the second half? Mine would be Archer. With no tie on around, you feel like you've got Trevor Williams you can really count on. You feel like, Musgrove can give you enough quality that, he's good for a middle-of-the-rotation guy. But you really are on borrowed time if you're going to count on Brault and Lyles. And you need to have a second horse to ride. And if you aren't going to go out and get somebody, and I really don't think this team is, I don't think they're going to make any moves like that. They might make a move like when they went and got Jay Happ, and it turned out that he, you know, was sort of a, if you remember at the trade deadline, they went and got him, and it was sort of just a throw-in trade, that nothing trade that nobody was even talking about for a guy that was sort of on the market and, you know, wasn't really even considered one of the main free agents. It might be a deal like that, and then you hope it turns out like that one did. But I can't see them going out and really going out and adding somebody that's going to be, you know, a top or even near the top of the rotation type guy. So if that's the case, you need Chris Archer to get it going. And you need him to start to pitch more efficiently and give you innings. I mean, one of the things that really is important to me, when I look at teams, I know there's a lot of bullpenning that goes on nowadays and all this other nonsense, but I'm going to tell you, to me, innings pitched are important still. You've got to be able to get some guys through innings and protect and preserve your bullpen. I think bullpens that are rested and bullpens that aren't overused, you know, they end up in August and September turning out to be the best bullpens. And, you know, that's the thing. If you've got guys going four innings, five innings every day, that's not a good thing. It's just not. You've got to do better. So, and that starts with Chris Archer in my mind. Again, it's a lot to put on one guy. But they gave, by what they gave up to get him, that's what they expect from him. And expectations are always different. You know, people are trying to compare, you know, Brault to Archer. Oh, okay, because they gave up three prime prospects to get Brault. I mean, come on. It's not the same. So there should be higher expectations for Archer. And that's, you know, one of the things he needs to figure it out. Because if he doesn't, then all of these discussions, in my mind, about playoffs or a playoff chase or a pennant chase, to me, I think go by the wayside. I just don't think they'll have enough pitching. And, you know, you have to have those two guys that you can count on every time through to at least give you a really good effort and win far more than they lose. And so far, that hasn't been Chris Archer.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.